Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
One pitch. Fastball pulled and passed. Alvarez toward the corner. Get out, Bob. Get out of here.
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball at cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Adam, Scott, Heath, and Chris.
All right, everybody. Welcome to the show. It is Fantasy Baseball Today, and it was a fun Wednesday night in baseball, wasn't it, Scott White?
So much fun. So much fun, I don't even know where to begin.
Well, I don't know where to begin either. Like, where should we begin? Sean Newcomb? Get rid of him?
Maybe. It's definitely been a different pitcher lately, and not in a good way.
No, he has. The three of his last four starts have been terrible. I'll tell you where we should begin. We're going to begin with some, hey, real quick, for 2018, and then hey, real quick for 2019. So hey, real quick for 2018, Scott. Tyler White or Tyler O'Neill?
Ooh, the Tylers.
Mm-hmm.
The Tylers. Tyler White, if he has a job, I'm really impressed by what he's doing, because he's doing it with a high walk rate. He's doing it with a BABIP that doesn't seem, you know, crazy high. And I'm not saying it's completely sustainable. I don't think he's really a 1031 OPS guy. Probably the home run pace is unrealistic. But I mean, he had an OPS over 1,000 in the minors this year. And he's always been a very productive hitter down there. So I don't know what it's going to take to get him in a lineup in a way we're trusting in.
Well, maybe. I mean, he's in there pretty much every day now.
Yeah, I just, you know, there's still a lot of alternatives there, and yeah, you never know what it's going to change.
Would you rather have Tyler White or Kendrys Morales?
Tyler White. I mean, if he has a job, Tyler White, I think he could be like a top 15, maybe even top 12 first baseman, potentially.
Okay, here's, hey, real quick for 2019. Christian Yelich or George Springer?
By the way, Evan Gattis is a free agent this offseason, so that could help Tyler White's case. I will go with Yelich, and I don't have a lot of hesitation there.
Over Springer?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Springer's having a down year. He really is. But Yelich, we talked about yesterday, like, oh, what a great year. He's having this breakout year. It all makes sense. He's wonderful. And then he hit for the cycle, and he had six hits.
A six-hit cycle. He had three singles. Those were the extra hits. But still, I mean, six-hit games are so rare to begin with, much less with the cycle attached.
That game was crazy. Now, I'll tell you what the craziest thing about that game, I think it's 13-12 or something like that. It was a nuts game. Ball must have been flying out of the park. It's really hot. I don't know what the weather was there, but I know there's some good hitting environments right now. There was a rain delay to start the game. The craziest thing that happened in that game, Reds-Brewers, Billy Hamilton hit a home run and got caught stealing. None of that should happen. But it did happen. And guess what, Scott? We have a little surprise. 2 minutes into the show, 3 minutes into the show, the guy just said, I want to be on the show today. Chris Towers is here.
Hey.
Hey, Chris.
I'm here.
I'm
succumbing to your peer pressure. You guys have been slandering me when I don't show up. So I'm here. I'm here for the people.
Okay, good. Wow. We're happy to have you. We're very happy to have you.
So he's susceptible to peer pressure is what he's revealing to us now.
Yeah.
What other things could we get him to do?
Well, we could get him to answer the hey real quick for 2019, Chris. Everybody's doing it. Who would you take, Christian Yelich or George Springer next year?
Ooh, I think I would take Christian Yelich.
Scott didn't even hesitate. He didn't even give an ooh. He just Yelich'd. All right. Well, it's interesting, you know, Yelich, of course, has that big game. Springer, he's always hurt, but he's better than this. I mean, he's definitely should have an OPS over 800.
I will say, I will be very excited to draft George Springer next year.
How far do you think he's going to fall?
If he falls into the late third round, I will be very excited to draft George Springer.
I think he will. I think so.
Yeah, in a points league, he'll be incredible. If he's still leading off for the Astros, that would be amazing value. Because it just gets so many plate appearances.
Yeah, I don't see any reason to think he won't be a very good hitter. I know he hasn't been this season, but he's too good. The track record's too strong. It's going to be one of those things where if he just stays healthy, he's going to have a monster season. And, you know, as we've seen with Giancarlo Stanton in the past, among others, when that's the knock on you, it's worth betting on at a depressed price.
I made two transactions yesterday. You guys can approve the move. I added Randall Grichuk and dropped Greg Bird. It doesn't matter who I dropped. I added Randall Grichuk. That's the most important thing. He had, I think, two more doubles yesterday. He's hitting well. And I added Derek Holland specifically for his start this weekend against the Mets. I mean, they were bad before they lost Jose Bautista. I added Derek Holland and I dropped Marcus Stroman. Don't know that we need to own Stroman in a roto league at this point. Do we approve?
That's fine.
Yeah, they're fine. They're fine moves. Yeah, Grichuk's been... looking at his batted ball profile, I was looking at it last night, and feel like maybe I didn't give him quite enough credit when we were talking about him yesterday. He's done what he's done with really bad BABIP luck, and, you know... He looks like he should be a huge power hitter, and lately he has been. So, yeah, I think he probably deserves to be more owned than he is.
Yeah, he's still available. Grichuk, I don't know, he's like 30% owned or something like that. I forget what it was, but somebody you might want to keep an eye on in your leagues. All right, Wednesday standouts. What do we got, Chris? How you feeling? You got a Wednesday standout for the people?
I mean, we probably have to talk about Trevor Williams, right?
Oh, yeah, it's 3 earned runs over his last 8 starts, combined 3 earned runs.
Yeah, and of course, I think the 8 starts directly prior to this stretch, he had a 7.20 ERA. So obviously he was due.
Exactly. Now you're getting it. Good for you.
I mean, the fun thing is that, like, if you go game by game, I'm looking at 8-game stretches throughout the season, his FIP has never... gone below 3.72 for any 8-game stretch, and for the most part it hasn't gone above 4.5. There have been just a few that have gone over. He's basically been a low fours to mid to high threes ER or true talent guy, and he's just been super inconsistent. So I don't think I buy it, but I mean I don't buy it.
Yeah, I don't buy it either. I'm not really sure what he's good at. Even like weak contact, soft contact, I mean, he's better than average at that, but it's not like he's, you know, it's not like he's a real standout. And that's not a skill that I think is especially trustworthy either. Like, a pitcher has to do several seasons of that before I'm really buying it
My take on that is mostly that, like, it's a fine tiebreaker. It can help you outperform your peripherals a little bit. But generally speaking, like, if you don't do the other things that we accept as, like, the defense independent pitching stats, the foundation of those things, you know, limiting home runs, limiting fly balls, really, striking guys out, limiting walks. If you don't do at least 2 of those things well, I don't really care that you limit hard contact unless you're a knuckleballer or something.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's Trevor Williams. And guys, I'm going to give you 5 seconds to answer. How many Trevors pitched yesterday?
4.
At least 1.
You both are, well, I mean, Chris is technically right because that's annoying. 3 Trevors pitched yesterday. Well, starting pitchers. Trevor, name them.
Trevor Williams, Trevor Richards, and Trevor Hildenberger did pitch, but he's not a starting pitcher.
Oh, okay, so Scott was right. 4 Trevors pitched. Sorry.
Well, there might be, I don't know how many relievers in all, so I can't take credit. Trevor Cahill.
Trevor Cahill did pitch, and he's got a 7.02 ERA on the road now.
Yeah, I feel like such a sucker for Trevor Cahill. Because this is the second year in a row. It's got me excited. Look at the ground ball rate. Look at all the swings and misses he's getting. And just like when it all fell apart for him after he was traded from the Padres to the Royals last year, it's just not holding up. Like, suddenly he's not getting the swinging strikes anymore. He's walking a ton of guys. That happened in yesterday's start, 6 walks. And, I mean, you can't trust him, obviously. You can't. It's September.
But what about at home?
Basically.
He's got a point. He's got a .85 ERA at home and a .702 ERA on the road. And he's got two home starts next week.
And the thing there is, he walked 6 yesterday. He walked 11 in the month of August total.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's, I mean, it's so annoying. And I like, no, I don't necessarily trust him more at home. I understand it's a favorable environment, but he's such an extreme ground ball pitcher.
It's weird.
That
it's
I don't
weird.
Feel like the positioning of the fences should make that big of a difference.
And it's not like it's just like, oh, he gives up a lot of home runs at home or on the road. He doesn't strike people out on the road. He has a 16.5% strikeout rate away from home compared to a 29.7% rate on the road. He basically becomes Justin Verlander at home and Trevor Williams on the road. It doesn't make any sense. Although we wish he was Trevor Williams on the road.
All right, so Cahill's got 2 starts next week. They're both at home. Ugh. They're the Yankees and the Rangers.
I don't think you can trust him.
All right.
It's easy to say that now, but when I'm straining to find a sleeper 2-star pitcher for next week, I have to imagine he'll probably be pretty high on that list.
Yeah, all right. Well, yeah, we'll go through some 2-star pitchers mostly tomorrow. Today we're going to look at who's been the best at each position over the last 28 days as we wrap up the month of August. News and notes for you. David Price left after taking a comebacker off the wrist. X-rays were negative, but we have to see what happens there. Could be a DL stint for David Price, but it does look like a serious, serious injury. Kenta Maeda got a save for the Dodgers. He gave up a run. He got a save, but Dave Roberts said Kenley Jansen is still the closer. He was not available yesterday. Andrew Miller's on the DL with a shoulder impingement. Charlie Morton is on the DL with shoulder discomfort. So this is a guy who has had trouble staying healthy. He made it 5/6 of the season. They're putting him on the DL. Do we have a timetable for Morton? And do we know who's replacing him?
I saw he was just going to miss 1 start.
Oh, okay. All right. Good. Then don't worry about who's replacing him.
Well, I wouldn't say that because I'm still not – like, they have a pitcher, 25-year-old, throws 100 miles an hour, has led all minor leaguers with at least 15 starts, I think it is, and strikeouts per 9 innings. And I mentioned the age because it's like if you're 25, you need to start – like your team needs to start capitalizing on it. And his name's Josh James. I'm really hoping he gets called up in September, and if he's not – you know, obviously, maybe it's not the Morton turn he's taking, but the Lance McCullers turn he starts taking.
All right. Josh James. Good name. Albert Pujols out for the season. Mike Soroka will not be back this season. The Braves acquired Lucas Duda from Kansas City. How far down in your rankings did you move Freddie Freeman after this trade? LOL.
Very
LOL.
Funny, Adam.
James Paxton will start Saturday. Steven Duggar likely out for the season with a shoulder injury. Matt Carpenter left with nausea. We hope he's okay.
Heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, diarrhea, right?
Yeah. Jose Altuve has struck out 6 times in his last 2 games. I got that. That was Pepto-Bismol.
First 4 strikeout game of his entire career.
I was trying to find that out. Okay, glad we established that. Altuve struck out 4 times.
Maybe.
Oh, you're making that up?
No, I saw it on Twitter.
Okay.
But I didn't verify it myself. I just believe everything that I see on Twitter.
It's like Wikipedia. How could it be wrong?
You won't believe what Warren Buffett's been saying.
Josh Donaldson could get traded, and Andrew McCutchen could get traded. We have the trade deadline, the non-waiver trade deadline tomorrow, so keep an eye on it. Those are 2 big names that could be on the move. All right, so I don't have a typical yesterday kind of recap. I just have some hitters, some pitchers I want to talk about, but I do mostly want to focus on what's going on in the last 28 days. And I want to tell y'all about ZipRecruiter. Today's sponsor is ZipRecruiter. We want to thank ZipRecruiter for supporting our show. And, you know, actually, I have this email that I have saved here, and it's from a guy named Nick, and he says the title was ZipRecruiter Testimonial. I've been a fan of the show since 2009. Just want to thank you for the promo code to ZipRecruiter. I run a tiny education technology startup. We're in our first year, so it felt early to go out and seek job applicants. I thought I'd try ZipRecruiter with your promo code. I posted my job around 6 p.m., and I'm floored with how many qualified applicants I received 15 hours later. I feel like a 10 on Tinder. So that was really cool. And you know what? That was actually, to be 100% honest, that was a football email. But it doesn't matter because we got a baseball promo code for you to use as well. It's ZipRecruiter.com/strike. Use that promo code ZipRecruiter.com/strike and you can try ZipRecruiter for free. So you heard the testimonial there. This is great for small businesses or businesses of any size. If you've got a job, ZipRecruiter will post that job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. They will find great matches for you. They will send these great matches your way and you will never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is the number one job site in America. So make sure you're using it. And the promo code is ZipRecruiter.com/strike. Not a promo code, it's a URL. ZipRecruiter.com/strike. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. All right, let's talk about some pitchers. How much do you trust Sean Newcomb and Jake Arrieta?
I was just looking up Sean Newcomb's stats. I'm glad you asked, Adam. So, I don't trust him as far as I can throw him.
How far can you throw him?
He's big. He's like 6'7". I'm not even sure I'd be able to get the kind of leverage I would need to throw him. Maybe in the pool I could throw him a few feet. But for the most part, I'd just be pushing. So it just depends how far he fell. Looking at his rolling 10-game averages, it's bad, guys. The major league average swinging strike rate for a starting pitcher is 10.1%. He has not had a 10-game stretch higher than that, dating back to June 22nd. He has not had a 10-game stretch with a strikeout rate above the major league average for a starter since June 22nd. He has not had a FIP below 4 over a 10-game stretch since June 27th. He's been bad for months now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just you mentioned 3 of his last 4 starts were terrible, Adam. 5 of his last 10, he's given up 5 earned runs or more. And the walks have been higher during that stretch, and in addition to the strikeouts being lower. It's concerning. Now, you know, trying to figure out what's gone wrong for Newcomb other than just the results. One thing I've noticed for him, and this goes back to like May, is he kind of fell out of love with his curveball, which is supposed to be his best pitch. It's the pitch that was hyped coming up through the minors. Presumably the pitch that, I mean, I know it doesn't have a high swinging strike rate this year. Maybe that's why he's fallen out of love with it, but it's supposed to be the pitch that generates the swings and misses. So, one positive I take from yesterday's start is that it looked like his curveball got the best results it has all year. And he did strike out a lot of batters yesterday. But to me, at this stage of the season, that's not enough to really save him, I think.
So this is Sean Newcomb here. Scott, are we dropping Sean Newcomb? He's got 2 starts next week, but one of them is Boston.
I mean, let's point out the last time someone on this podcast said drop Sean Newcomb. He damn near had a perfect game.
Yeah. Was it a no-hitter or a perfect
game? Yeah.
I think it was a no-hitter. And he faced the minimum.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think
drop him.
I don't think I could start him next week. And if you're not starting him next week,
what's the point? Drop him.
Yeah.
All right, what about Arrieta? Arrieta's got Mets and the Marlins next week, so I don't want to lose that week.
You're starting.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not good, as we've been saying all year, but the fall hasn't been as pronounced as Newcomb's. He's had a couple bad starts in a row. For the most part, he's been pretty reliable. So, yeah, definitely stick with him.
All right. CC Sabathia, quality start against the White Sox. Wasn't a great start, but 6 innings, 3 runs. Thought it'd be a little bit better. 12 swinging strikes. He's got a lot of strikeouts over his last 4 starts. Sabathia, 33 strikeouts in 23 2/3. Now, 2 of those starts were against the White Sox. I think that does help. But I don't know. Sabathia never struck me as a guy who should be 80% owned. But he has a 3.36 ERA.
Not in a long time, anyway.
And like what, 8.4 K per 9 for the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's really gotten up there, but it's been those last 4 starts. It's been those last 4 starts.
I feel like it may be another Trevor Cahill situation where
Like, the track record suggests I should know better, but it's all logical unto itself. And I mean, I'm totally fine with riding the hot hand at this stage of the season, especially.
43 Ks in 31.1 innings since the All-Star break.
Yeah, if you take out the White Sox start. No, I mean, even without it, look, he's got Seattle and Oakland next week, so it's not the easiest week. They're both on the road. I think you got to start Sabathia at this point. But, you know, the thing I would say about Sabathia is, like, you could always start him in a points league, whatever. He'll get you some quality starts, got a good ERA. But in a roto league, a categories league, and I own Sabathia in a categories league, not a great whip. It's 1.27. I wasn't expecting a good strikeout rate. So, he's almost kind of Stroman-like or something. Maybe format-specific. But if he's getting strikeouts, I just don't buy the strikeouts, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
That's reasonable.
Yeah. Could be an old fool Jew. Could be a fool Jew. How do I not
you
have
could
that
be an old fool.
Up? All right, let's move on. Derek Rodriguez is 80% owned. I'm looking at two guys who are exceeding our expectations and are no longer doing so. And they were Marco Gonzalez and Kyle Gibson. And I meant to say this yesterday and I didn't, but I was going to say, I fear Derek Rodriguez is next on this list to kind of let us down and not be nearly as good as what we've seen. Now he obviously has like a bigger drop because he had such a low ERA. It's only 247 now. But I'm not starting him next week at Colorado, and I'm nervous about Derek Rodriguez. Quite frankly, I just don't think his stuff is that good. And, I don't know. I just don't have that much faith in him.
I don't blame you, my friend.
No, thank you.
On the other hand, this is exactly the kind of pitcher who gets a benefit from pitching half of his games, or roughly half of his games, in, AT&T Park out in old San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. The decline is inevitable for Derek Rodriguez.
Yes.
It's gone on long enough that I am willing to ride it to the bitter end. And although yesterday's start was his first non-quality start in months, basically. Basically since like his first major league start, right? You know, it wasn't bad enough for me to stop starting him, but I know this isn't as good as he's going to be. I don't know what the eventual landing spot is. Certainly the home park helps, like Chris said, but I suspect we won't be drafting him as a top 50 pitcher next year.
And I won't start him next week at Colorado, but I do think you're right. I mean, playing in this ballpark is going to help, so I'll probably start Rodriguez. But like, if you need a win next week,
yeah,
I think I don't want to, you know, I don't want to drop a guy with a 247 ERA, but if you can't use a guy next week and it's the playoffs or something and there are only a few teams left in the league, then you might have to make that tough decision. Let's do some rankings. Let's rank Sabathia, Rodriguez, Cahill, and Peralta.
Whew. I'll go Rodriguez first, then Sabathia, then Cahill, and then Peralta.
I wish Freddy Peralta made more sense. Because I really want to like him. I'll agree with that.
Rodriguez, Sabathia, Cahill, Peralta. Close. All right, let's rank this next group. Michael Fulmer, Trevor Williams, Mike Minor, Danny Duffy, Joey Lucchesi. Minor, Williams. Hey, before you do that, take a look at what Mike Minor's been doing lately. He's pitching a lot better. Fulmer stunk yesterday. He's been good at home. He's been terrible on the road. I know we don't like Trevor Williams that much. All right, so fine. So does anybody that you do want in this group, Minor, Duffy, Lucchesi, Fulmer, Williams?
There's nobody who, like, I have to have. Their ownership percentages make sense. Like, Miners could stand to be higher, probably, but at the same time, he's pitched over his head recently. I don't really understand how he's succeeding.
I got one.
I think it has something to do with him being a naturally low BABIP guy because he's such a big fly ball guy, but of course, that can come back to bite him sometimes. with the home runs.
Minor is 46% owned. All these guys are basically like around 50% owned, except Trevor Williams, who's 71%.
So Mike Minor has a .288 career BABIP, which is low. During the post All-Star break stretch, where he has a .278 ERA, he has a .174 BABIP.
Yeah. That obviously can't last.
Yeah.
Cannot last. But his overall BABIP for the season is about what it was last year.
15 points lower. 272 to 257. 250, like, even 257, even for him, is too low, I think. And that's come out to a 433 ERA.
All right, do you want any of these guys? Ronaldo Lopez, Trevor Richards, and Jason Vargas.
I mean, Trevor Richards might be the most interesting of all these pitchers, and he's 14% owned.
Five straight non-quality starts, though. I mean, he just doesn't ever get to six innings, pretty much. Whereas Lucchesi has done it three of his last four starts.
After never doing it. Yeah, he had two in April, and then he's had three in his last four starts.
Yeah, he threw a career high.
Yeah, I mean, if I was ranking all of these pitchers, and I was excluding Minor's relief pitcher eligibility, because that's obviously the most interesting thing about him, I would go Fulmer 1, and I wish I understood him better, but I think there's a lot of talent there. Fulmer 1, followed by Richards, followed by Lucchesi.
I heard a crazy stat about Trevor Richards.
On Twitter?
It took him, no, on the Marlins broadcast last night, right before the Red Sox opened up a ginormous can of
an 11-run inning, yeah.
I don't think they got an out for like eight of those runs. It was nuts.
You know, that one player made all three outs in that inning, and it was Andrew Benintendi. He hit a double play and like a fly ball out or something.
Yeah, I think he tried to bunt at one point. It wasn't a great inning.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry, Trevor Richards.
What an embarrassing inning for Andrew Benintendi.
So you know how Jose Fernandez was an amazing pitcher right out of the gate. Trevor Richards got to 100 strikeouts faster than Jose Fernandez.
Wow.
He got to 100 strikeouts in 97 innings. It took Jose Fernandez 99.
How about that?
That is wild.
Yeah.
That is wild.
Now, part of that is Trevor Richards just isn't as good, so he faces more batters per inning. Jose Fernandez's strikeout rate was much higher, but still, Trevor Richards, a lot of strikeouts. That changeup is a legit weapon for him.
All right, I'm going to go through some hitters, and you're going to give me your reactions. Robinson Cano, since returning from the suspension, he is batting .259 with one home run and three doubles. He has a .657 OPS. Is he still a must start, Robinson Cano?
I think with the standard roto lineup, all the extra hitter spots to fill, I'd call a must start in that format. But in a head to head lineup, no, I still want him around, but I don't think he's must start.
Adam Eaton is finally getting some extra base hits. In his last 12 games, he has a .296 ISO, which is outstanding. He has two home runs, five doubles, and a triple in his last 12 games. Does that encourage you with Adam Eaton, who's 79% owned?
And he got a chance to start against a lefty recently. He had been sitting against them pretty consistently. Even when Adam Eaton was considered, fairly high-end outfielder, strong fantasy asset, I just didn't think there were enough counting stats there, and I think it's a problem for him still. He gets on base a lot. He bats at the top of what should be a good lineup, and you'd think that'd be enough to carry him, but I don't know.
Over the last 12 games, for the Nationals, he has started 10 of them, and he's appeared in all 12. So that does make me feel a teensy bit better. He's started 21 of 27 in the month of August. So, you know, I think it's going to depend if he plays six out of every seven.
Yeah.
I think he's a must start. If it's four of every seven or five of every eight, it gets a little iffier.
If you project out his numbers over a full season, it's like a 10 homer, 10 steal pace. You know, that's really the issue. I don't think he's ever had 20 of either in a season.
No, but he's more like a 15 steal, 18 homer guy, I think. Usually. He's having a bad year, but he's finally getting some power. That's what I'm saying. Like, his batting average and on-base percentage look normal. His home runs, his power numbers were way down. He had an ISO under 100 last time we spoke about him. That was like a week ago.
But his,
now he's finally getting some extra base hits.
I think it just comes down to whether his whether he's healthy. You know, like this is a guy who's suffered a fairly catastrophic knee injury last year and hasn't been healthy this year. And turns out your legs are very important when you're trying to hit 95 mile an hour baseballs.
Career high in home runs is 14. Career high in stolen bases is 18.
Oh,
yeah, but what's
I
your career high
around.
Either?
I switched them around. Might be. All right. So then these other guys, are you interested in picking up CJ Cron or Trey Mancini? They've been hitting the ball pretty well. Mancini has three homers in his last four games. Cron is batting .366 in his last 11 games with three home runs. Cron or Mancini, if you saw them on waivers, like, would you pick them up over Randall Grichuk or Tyler White or Tyler O'Neill?
Here's the thing about Cron. He started two of the Rays' last five games.
Oh, wow.
So he may be hitting well, but not...
Yeah. I also, like, yeah. Even when he's good, he, like, he's like a 65th percentile home run guy at first base, and he doesn't really do anything else well.
So no.
So like, even if he's an everyday player, I think he's like the 27th best first baseman.
And things could get really crowded here for the Rays in a way that might impact not only him, but Jake Bowers, maybe some others too, because Malik Smith's on the DL with an illness. You don't imagine that's going to be long. Actually, I think it's an infection, but it doesn't seem like it's going to be a long stay. And then I'm pretty confident Austin Meadows is going to get called up when rosters expand.
He's been red hot.
Yeah, he's done better in the Rays minor league system than he ever did in the Pirates minor league system.
And if you're looking for some speed, some steals, Joey Wendell, Adalberto Mondesi, and Roman Quinn. Wendell has four steals in his last four games, and he's batting .333 in August. Mondesi is starting to hit a lot better. Three straight two-hit games, a home run in two straight games. And he, in the last 28 days, is the number 11 shortstop in Roto. Number 21 in points. He doesn't get that many at-bats. And Roman Quinn, that's Adalberto Mondesi. Roman Quinn is 6% owned. He has led off two of the last three games for Philadelphia. He doesn't play that much, but he's starting to impact Odubel Herrera's playing time. And he has six steals in 27 games.
Plays a lot more than I ever would have imagined. Started 6 of 9 for the Phillies. And Jose Bautista was in the lineup yesterday. I don't know why they feel the need to mix in these other players when they already have good players in their outfield. But, I guess Quinn, if you're looking to catch up in steals, particularly in a five outfielder league, he's not totally irrelevant. He's hitting well, too. I mean,
yeah,
.369 batting average is obviously too good to be true, but I suspect that's why he keeps getting starts.
Since Heath is not here, I'll throw a cape on for Adalberto Mondesi, who might just be good. He's starting to show some real flashes, and he is stupid aggressive on the base paths. And I'm not using that as a pejorative. I'm using that as a an exclamation. He has been on base. He has 53 stolen base opportunities. That means that he was on base when the base in front of him was open. He has run 21 times. That is really, really high. He's been really aggressive. He's taken the extra base when it's been available 69% of the time. And he's been effective. He's not getting thrown out on the bases. He's showing some power, which he has done in AAA before. I'm very intrigued by this guy. He's going to be I think he could be a breakout candidate next year.
That's Adalberto Mondesi.
Strikeouts are much lower. I don't know if you mentioned that, but he's not. It's a respectable strikeout rate.
Any interest in Joey Wendell, guys? Joey Wendell, yeah. Go ahead.
What was that song supposed to be?
That's Mr. Wendell by Arrested Development. Remember, I played it for you. It's like the best song.
Tennessee.
No, Mr. Wendell is better than Tennessee.
Tennessee is the one I know.
Well, you got to know Mr. Wendell. It's much better. Any interest in Mr. Wendell?
He seems like the kind of player who I'd like to have in an AL-only league because he plays a lot and his stats are decent. But he's not. There's not enough upside there for mixed leagues.
I didn't realize they cloned Brock Holt.
In the bullpen, Cody Allen pitched the seventh and pitched poorly. So, yikes. Jeremy Jeffress pitched in a tie game in the ninth, and then he stayed on in the tenth, and he gave up a home run. But he got the win. Jace Fry got the save. He has two saves in his last three appearances for the White Sox, who are playing pretty well right now, surprisingly. This is the interesting one. Tommy Hunter got a two-inning save for the Phillies. Sir Anthony Dominguez pitched the seventh. Is it time to drop Dominguez? And by the way, Pat Neshek got faced one batter and he got on base in the eighth. Hunter got a two-inning save.
Everybody. All the prospective closers pitched in that game. Arano, Neris, Dominguez, Neshek, they all pitched. But only one pitched the ninth, and it was Tommy Hunter. He was the only one who pitched the eighth, too.
No, that's actually not true.
We haven't.
They had three pitchers pitch in the eighth. He's the only one who recorded an out in the eighth.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There you go. We haven't seen the last of Dominguez getting saves, I don't think. But this is like... This is just the way the Phillies conduct their bullpen.
This is a guy I don't buy at all.
The more concerning thing is that he seems to be running out of gas.
Dominguez?
Yeah.
And then Ken Giles was used in a non-save situation yesterday, and he gave up three runs.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's given up one run in save situations this year. And like 100 in non-save situations.
It's ridiculous. I don't understand.
So stop using him in those ways.
Yeah, well, I tell the Blue Jays that, right?
The Blue Jays have been pretty good about it. Maybe they just wanted to get him some work, but it's just funny. I mean, it didn't really matter. They lost the game anyway.
He has a
point. Is it not like it's either a total fluke or he has some major concentration issues?
He has a 0.50 ERA in save situations with a 0.67 whip. In non-save situations, he has a 9.93 ERA and a 1.897 whip.
And it's just the one run he's given up in save situations?
Yeah. He has 22 strikeouts in save situations on 65 batters faced. He has 22 and 112 in non-save situations. It's ridiculous.
It's very strange. Very strange. And you know what, Giles, I wonder where he ranks over the last 28 days in points leagues among RP eligible, because he's been, we have a new feature. Chris, are you aware of this new feature? Best available. Look at this. I'm looking at our leagues right now. Best available. It tells you, if you go to our leagues and to our stats page, usually it just has stats and projections, and the projections help you figure out who the best available is. But now it has a tab that says best available, and it tells you all the... It got four catchers here, four first basemen. Very cool stuff.
They label it with a red window that says new feature! Exclamation mark.
Ooh, that must be a football season thing that they just migrated over. That's great.
Cool!
I wonder what the criteria is. Oh, wait a second.
It's the best available player, Scott.
I know, but I wonder how they figure out who's the best available.
Scott, why don't you just get out of here? We don't need your attitude, okay?
That's not an attitude. I'm just curious. I like to know how things are figured out.
Well, it doesn't matter because you have to go anyway.
I do.
So Chris and I will handle the rest of the show. Going to look at the best performers over the last 28 days. Thank you, Scott, for joining us today.
All right. Thanks for having me.
All right. That's Scott White. Let's look at the best of the last month. First, we'll start with head-to-head points leagues and the catcher position. Last 28 days, color me shocked. I don't know how really? How is Yadier Molina the number one catcher in points leagues over the last 28 days? He has by far the most at-bats.
Like, I would that probably.
This is amazing.
He never strikes out, and you know.
This is amazing with Molina. He is batting .228 and slugging .346 over the last 28 days, and he is the number one catcher in points leagues.
Do you have the filter set right? Is that all players or free agents?
That's what I was checking. But
he's like.
No, it's 10. All players.
He's like 12th in Roto.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
To just highlight how bad the catcher position has been over the last 28 days in rotisserie scoring leagues. The number one catcher is, of course, Austin Hedges. He ranks 193rd overall. So the catcher position has been a disaster. And it makes sense. Buster Posey's out. Gary Sanchez is out. It's not super surprising. JT Realmuto has really fallen on hard times.
Well, no, but he has struggled, actually. He's batting .202 with three home runs in the last 28 days, and yet he's the number three catcher in points leagues in that stretch. Not as good in Roto. It looks like not even close. So plate appearances make a huge difference with catchers. Huge difference. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm going to shorten the window. I'm going to go to the last 14 days, and let's find out where Taylor Ward is.
He hasn't been very good.
No, he hasn't. Oh, gosh, he's way down. He's been awful. But here's my point. If you just get the plate appearances and he's average, he's going to be a really good catcher for you in a points league, for sure.
Yeah, it's looking ahead to next year, it's going to be really tough to know what to do with catcher. Like, I still believe Gary Sanchez is far and away better than the field at this point, but that's now two seasons in a row with significant injuries, and including this groin injury that just didn't go away. So it's I don't know if Gary Sanchez will be drafted in probably the fourth round next year, I would guess. I don't think any other catcher deserves to be drafted in the top 150.
If JT Realmuto gets traded,
sure,
then he could be, because he, you know, not this year, but typically he's bad at Marlins Park. He's a really good player. Salvador Perez is like genuinely having a good month. 240 batting average. He doesn't, not a good batting average guy, but five home runs, 12 RBIs. He looks like Salvador Perez, which is interesting because he's always bad in the second half, but he's missed a lot of time, so maybe he's fresh. And then, yeah, we should talk about Austin Hedges. We should talk about Tucker Barnhart. He's up on this high on this list too. Matt Wieters is up here. He's had a nice month.
The list is dreadful.
Is there anyone that stands
Kevin
out?
Kevin Plawicki is third in Roto.
Is Hedges at least, you know, interesting?
For the remainder of the season, and even then probably not, because we're probably going to see Francisco Mejia when rosters expand, right? I don't know.
All right.
He's got power, but that's about it.
Yasmani Grandal's batting .141 in the last 28 days. .141. Let's go to first base. In Roto, Anthony Rizzo is your number one first baseman. And how about this? Cody Bellinger is number two. He's got four steals. That helps. He's tied with Whit Merrifield for the most among first base eligible players, I think, in steals. Unless there's someone I'm missing. Nope, it's them too. But Bellinger, what a weird, quiet season for Cody Bellinger. Not a bad year, though. Just weird.
Yeah, I mean, overall, he's played in exactly as many games as he did last year, so that's helpful.
Oh, fun.
He has 18 fewer home runs.
Wow.
That's, yeah. Like, there was some regression coming, but I'm stunned by that. His home run to fly ball rate has fallen from 25% to 14%.
Cody Bellinger
he's someone who I think will have a bounce back.
He's the number nine first baseman in fantasy.
Yeah.
Bad position this year. Other guys on this list, Goldschmidt's three, Gallo is four, Merrifield is five. Merrifield's had a really good year and nice power in the month of August. Five home runs in his last 28 days. Tyler White is sixth among first basemen. Marwin Gonzalez is seven. Jose Abreu is actually eight, even though he's missed some time. And Matt Carpenter is nine in Roto. I'm sure he's higher in points. Ryan Zimmerman is 10th. And Kendrys Morales is 11th. And Jose Martinez is 12th. Zimmerman, Morales, and Jose Martinez. Who's your favorite there?
Okay, so Zimmerman, Morales, and Martinez.
Yeah.
I would probably go with Martinez.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a look at second base. Go back to points leagues. Last 28 days, Rougned Odor in points leagues with 15 walks to 24 strikeouts.
Yeah, that's been really interesting to watch, is his development as more of a patient hitter. I'm not sure I buy it because it's so abrupt, but it's really interesting to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Odubel Herrera had that stretch like two seasons ago. He had a month where he was a great plate discipline guy, and it has not been since. But this is interesting. Something to watch in September. Rougned Odor, how does he do with the walk-to-strikeout ratio? Matt Carpenter's two, Whit Merrifield's three, Jose Ramirez, Jonathan Villar. Let's check his ownership percentage. He is 44% owned. Jonathan
Villar. Hitting .278. but 8 stolen bases leads the position. They're second at the position.
That's over the last 28 days.
Yep.
Who's first at the position? Oh,
I believe it's Adalberto Mondesi.
9 steals. Marwin Gonzalez, Joey Wendell, Jed Lowry is having a good month. Javi Baez, 286, 6 homers, 2 steals.
How about this guy for a sleeper for next season? Plays on the same team as your boy Joey Wendell. Willy Adames.
Yeah.
The number 5 second baseman, over the last 28 days in roto leagues.
Not even close in points. I wonder why.
Maybe he's striking out a bit.
Well, but 9 walks, 23 strikeouts doesn't feel like...
Not a ton of runs or RBI.
Yeah, he's got the 5 steals. That helps.
Yeah.
Only 3 doubles. 4 home runs for Adames. Not quite as many plate appearances as some of the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
But he may have led off yesterday. He batted toward the top of the order. Yeah, Adames has had a good year. Got to own him. Would you rather own Adames or VR?
VR. Still. Adames. Similar power, similar batting average potential, more stolen bases for VR.
Adames or Mondesi?
Probably Adames. He's a better overall hitter.
Back to Roto. Your top 5, your top 10, we'll see how many we get to. Shortstops in the last 28 days. Trevor Story, number 1.
It's running again.
8 steals in 28 days.
It's wild.
He's running wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's having a really good year now.
Yep.
And he started to get it done on the road, too. Ahmed Rosario is number 2 in Roto.
He's running wild.
7
Emphasis
steals.
On the wild, 4 caught stealings, but 7 steals.
Yeah, I don't think he's quite this good. I mean, number 2 shortstop over the last 28 days.
No, but it's showing he's not the number 2 shortstop, obviously. But it's showing that this guy's super young, and he struggled a lot last year. He struggled early this season, but he's not without talent. Don't give up on him. Don't forget about him next season when you're drafting.
Don't forget about him. Rosario has 9 hits in his last 5 games.
That was the synth line from that song.
Was it?
You were making a reference
to... Yeah, I know, but that didn't sound right.
It was.
You sure?
The Simple Minds, is that who sings that song?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was it. That was right. It was right.
Breakfast Club. Crap movie. Manny Machado 3.
Marwin Will was right about you.
When did you see Breakfast Club?
I don't know, once every year and a half for the last 15 years or so.
I watched it as like a full grown up.
Yeah, I mean,
it wasn't very good.
It's great.
Marwin Gonzalez 4. We keep hearing him. Willy Adames 5. Xander Bogaerts 6. Alex Bregman 7. How is Alex Bregman with a .349 batting average, .452 on base, .546 slugging, only 7?
Counting stats aren't there. Only 16 runs, only 15 RBI, 3 homers, 2 steals. So he's slowed down a bit, but also 15 walks and 7 strikeouts. He's probably a lot higher in points.
Yeah, I wonder if he's number 1. When I say he's 7th in Roto in points over the last 28 days, Alex Bregman is number 1.
There you go.
Bogaerts is number 2. All right, other interesting shortstops here that have performed well over the last 28 days in rotisserie formats. Chris, you seen anything you like?
Jose Peraza. 317, that's not surprising. He's a good contact hitter. But 4 home runs, that's 4 home runs and 11 extra base hits all told. He's only 3 extra base hits behind Javi Baez in that stretch. That's surprising. I don't think he's a power hitter, but if he can become, and what we've seen this year is he needed to become a little bit less of a slap hitter. He needed a little more bop. And if he can be a 110 ISO guy, which is still pretty bad, it makes the whole thing work a little better. I wish he was running better. Only 3 steals, 4 caught stealings in that time. He's got 30 to 40 per steal potential. But we're starting to see the guy that people were kind of hyping as a breakout candidate 2 years ago.
That's Jose Peraza. And one more guy, Aledmys Diaz. He's been okay as both second base and shortstop, like top 20-ish. Deeper league, you might be able to use him. And Tim Anderson, last guy. Tim Anderson, you know, you never know when the production's going to come. Like, at the end of the year, he's going to have some homers, he's going to have some steals, a good amount of them. You know he's not going to help you in batting average. Right now, Tim Anderson has 17 home runs and 25 steals. He gives you a lot of bad weeks, but I think if you're in a roto league or a categories league, you almost have to start him because, you know, you don't want to miss those big games, that big production. And let's finish with third base here and go back to points leagues. And Justin Turner is back, ladies and gentlemen. He's batting 396 with 5 home runs, 10 walks, 14 strikeouts, 11 doubles. He's the number one third baseman over the past 28 days with a 703 slugging percentage. My goodness.
Yeah, and that's the thing with wrist injuries. Sometimes it could take an entire year. Sometimes it just takes a couple months to get the strength back. You know, don't be surprised if Aaron Judge comes back and struggles.
Yep.
But also don't necessarily discount him next year because of it.
Miguel Andujar has basically been exactly as good in both points and roto as Justin Turner. They're 1-2, and they're basically tied. Matt Chapman, Matt Carpenter, Alex Bregman, Joey Gallo. How about Todd Frazier, Chris? He's got 6 home runs in his last 28 days and
he's
an 880 OPS. Todd Frazier.
I feel like he has like 3 home runs in his last 4 games,
yes,
or something.
It's
so it's a lot of recent production, but
yes.
Another guy that he's not done, but there's no way I'm ranking him in the top 15 at third base, I would imagine.
He sucks. 3 home runs in his last 7 games, 5 RBIs yesterday. I have no interest in Todd Frazier. He's 41% owned. I can't believe that. I can't believe
it. Yeah, that. I'm not excited about it. I'm not going to go out and add him.
Okay. And all right, that'll suffice. Because a lot of the third baseman we've already talked about at second base, shortstop. You guys have so much position eligibility. Outfield, back to Roto, Acuña, Martinez, Yelich, Peralta, Betts, Bellinger, Hunter Renfroe, 299 with 9 home runs and 26 RBIs, 4 walks, 22 strikeouts in his last 28 days. Hunter Renfroe is crushing it.
Yeah, and he's showing a little bit of signs of improving, not striking out as much, not swinging and missing as much, becoming a bit less of an all-or-nothing guy. And, you know, I don't want to make this comparison because it's unfair. He's arguably the best power hitter in baseball, but Chris Davis was a similar-ish career arc to Hunter Renfroe. Came up with some hype, struggled, struck out way too much, eventually found a happy medium where he still strikes out a lot. He doesn't have good plate discipline. He never will. But that you strike out just rarely enough that you can allow your power to flourish. Maybe we're seeing a poor man's version of that with Hunter Renfroe.
I must be exhausted because I just figured out you were talking about K-Riss Davis.
K-Riss Davis.
And not C-Riss Davis.
Yes.
All right, then. So let's finish up with the matchups, I suppose. See what we got on the old schedule today. Going to skip Brewers at Reds. This podcast will not be published by the time that game starts. Jake Odorizzi's at Mike Clevinger, Twins at Indians.
Jake Odorizzi at Mike Clevinger. I will start Mike Clevinger.
I don't know. Were you not paying attention? How was that hard?
I was looking at something else. Excuse me.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Francisco Liriano at J-Hap.
Hap.
Pirates at Cardinals. Joe Musgrove at John Gant.
Musgrove.
Yeah, you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Mike Montgomery at Mike Foltynewicz.
Faulty.
Andrew Heaney at Justin Verlander.
Verlander. I'm not starting Heaney. I sat him in a couple leagues.
Rick Porcello at Lucas Giolito.
I was talking about how Lucas Giolito looks better. It's probably going to look worse after tonight. I'm not starting him. Rick Porcello. And, you know, Rick Porcello, given how he pitches, could give up 7 runs tonight.
We've got Frankie Montas and Wade LeBlanc.
No.
2 more games. Rockies at Padres. Herman Marquez at Eric Lauer.
Definitely Herman Marquez. No on Eric Lauer.
Robbie Ray at Richie Hill.
Rich Hill for sure.
Are you Robbie Ray?
I don't get it.
Are you Jimmy Ray? You don't know that song? Good for you.
I don't know that song.
You're a better man for it. Robbie Ray, I mean, you've got to be kidding me if you star Robbie Ray. Like,
yeah, there's just, you can't.
Yeah, no.
And he very well may go out and strike out 10 in six innings.
Yeah, and give up 8 runs. He has five straight non-quality starts. So
it's been rough.
Well, then, we're done for the day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Baseball Today, baseball, and we'll give you 2-star pitchers and a mailbag. We're going to read a lot of your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. For Chris and Scott, I'm Adam. See ya.